some days would be a little better, but then I would fall 6 feet right back down in, right? And up and down, and it's just, I mean, through my treatment, I was told over and over again, recovery is not linear.
I heard that was the exact line in just the conversation we had a couple of weeks ago. Recovery is not linear. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere on the internet, anytime on the internet, WFPR.FM, and in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial, 102.9. We're in the glorious studio today with Tohino Pal. Tohino, welcome, and thank you for taking time to talk about your book.
Hi, thank you for having me.
This is going to be a good conversation, so people are going to say, well, Steve's talking to Tohina, and she wrote a book? Well, tell me a little bit about your... So they'll know. I know a little bit. Tell us a little bit more about yourself, and then kind of like, where did the book come from?
Yeah, so I'm Tohina. I'm currently a junior at Franklin High School, and I wrote a book about poetry. I mean, yeah, about mental health awareness through poetry. And this book consists of journal entries, illustrations, and poems. And I guess my journey really began coming out of the pandemic, especially because I was only 11 when the whole world shut down, right?
It was only 5 years ago.
I know. Oh, my goodness. But yeah, so my journey really began when I was, I would say, in sixth grade when the pandemic began.
Mm-hmm.
And I was only 11, and all of the prior anxieties that, I mean, truly did feel normal to an extent, especially because, for example, you're going into the school on the first day of fifth grade, like, you will feel a little anxious, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
Those kinds of anxieties felt normal, and they came and went, but then going into the pandemic, my anxiety, my body image struggles, all of those struggles really got elevated to another level, and I mean, I didn't really know what was happening, and I don't think I really acknowledged it, especially because, I mean, I was only 11. I was 12.
Sure.
I didn't know who I was.
Well, you're at that age where you're still trying to figure out who you are.
Exactly.
I mean, I have to remember going back, but I was in the same spot at one point in time trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, those early teen years are rather formative for a reason.
Exactly. And those early teen years that are formative, we all were stuck in our rooms alone,
isolated.
Online school, isolated.
So instead of helping each other, being with each other, you were like,
argh. Yeah, and I became so used to it. That's the thing too, because like I actually remember specifically, like, I was in seventh grade, and so there was a specific day my parents were like, why don't you go on a walk outside? And I said, no, I'm good. And they're like, you're just stuck in your room. And I was like, I'm good. And I just, like, stayed stuck in that room, you know, and until I was forced out of it. I think end of seventh grade going into, like, they said you could come into school all 5 days a week now.
Right.
And then beginning eighth grade, it was, like, mandatory. Like, everyone was coming back into school 5 days a week.
Fully returned back. Yes. Going through the transition.
Right.
And we're trying to hard to remember back. But
right.
Some of it we don't want to remember because
exactly.
It was just one of those bad periods. It's like, it's gone.
It
we've
felt,
learned.
Like, so wild. Like, it just, I can't even think of it anymore. But, yeah. But I remember, like, going into eighth grade, I was just, like, thrown off because the shift from going from quarantine and isolation to, like, what was expected to be, like, normal life but didn't feel normal because, again, I was only 11 when the whole world shut down to, like, what?
And kind of that block of time. Instead of being in the class, being in the rooms, being in the hallways, you were kind of in your room and then brought back suddenly.
Yes.
Into the room, into the classrooms, into the hallways, and yet time didn't stop.
Right.
Time marched forward.
Exactly.
And you're just expected to, like, just kind of, like, keep with it.
It's just so hard to, like, describe, too, sometimes, because I remember being 13 and going back into eighth grade and just being so thrown off, right? And I think that really was when I like started realizing and putting, I started putting a name to what I was feeling.
Okay.
Because when I went back into that classroom, when I was walking back in those hallways, when I was talking to my friends again, I just realized like my anxiety was through the roof. And before I knew it, I mean, it just became so difficult because all of that like sorrow and just silent struggle that mm-hmm. I faced through right. quarantine, now I had to somehow, I was somehow expected to go back into the real world and talk to people and socialize with people when I still felt the same.
Right.
And it
ignore
felt like...
Ignore all that.
Right.
And yet it's kind of like this big, huge
yeah.
weight.
It's just, it's like I had two identities and it felt so difficult to manage.
Ouch.
Yeah. And I mean, in eighth grade, in the beginning of the year, I developed an eating disorder because all of those really hard
mm-hmm.
thoughts and, I mean, preconceived, like, I just, like, had those beliefs about myself, but now I was in front of people again and I was mm-hmm. out and about again. And it was through, even, I honestly think one of my proudest moments through that journey of, like, going back into school and trying to at least understand what I was feeling and going through
right.
was being able to acknowledge that I was feeling anxious, that I
yes.
was having those negative thoughts mm-hmm. about my body or
right.
my, like, everything going around me. And, yeah, I had to go through various kinds of treatments, and I mean, I'm proud to say I've been in, like, a positive recovery for the past 3 years, but what I really wrote this book about was about those times when I genuinely felt like I didn't know what my next day would look like.
Right.
I just didn't know what recovery looks like and if I deserved it or if I would ever get there.
Mm-hmm.
And
too much uncertainty, too
right,
much
so
unknown.
Much uncertainty.
Right.
And what really bothered me was people never discussed mental health journeys, or at least I didn't see the output that was where people discussed these
right.
things, especially because I would always hear about people's success stories, about
mm-hmm.
people's, like, you go up, up, and up, and up, and suddenly I'm out of that hole.
Right.
But some days would be a little better, but then I would fall
yeah.
6 feet right back down in,
mm-hmm.
right? And
sure.
Up and down, and it just, I mean, through my treatment, I was told over and over again, recovery is not linear.
I heard that
yes.
was exact line in just a conversation we had a couple
yeah.
of weeks ago. Recovery
right.
is not
linear. It
absolutely
goes up and down. Surely the overall trajectory is up.
Generally. Hopefully, if you're in a positive upline.
Right?
Yep, yep.
But, like, it just took so much time to be able to accept that even if you feel like you're taking a step back, like, it's not a step back as long as you just take it a second at a time and just keep
right, right.
past, like, moving
true.
On.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, I felt so alone. And my parents' support was amazing. They were
mm-hmm.
so supportive of everything
yeah,
I went through.
In the opening, et cetera, you do credit them,
yeah.
clearly. And I was glad to hear that,
yeah,
that you did
exactly.
have. And I think that's the key to the extent that, and it's been said in others, and I'm certainly not a consultant, medical in any way, but having been a coach, athletic, you get some experience in that extent. And the start to resolving a problem is recognizing you've got a problem.
And that's the hardest step, right?
That's the hardest piece, because if you don't think you've got a problem, you're never going to take a step to address it.
Yeah. And especially in those, like, terribly deep and, like, sorrowful moments when you're just in that dark path,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to deviate from that path.
Right.
Because,
right.
I mean, your mind just kind of, like, magnetic, you know? It's just, like, pulling you back in. It's like
right.
a black hole. And it's just, like, in that path, either you know you're not feeling well, or, sometimes you can't even acknowledge that.
Right.
But in that moment, it's just that pure feeling of loneliness, because
mm-hmm.
no one ever talks about what they're going through.
True. You'll,
I mean, I'm not sure if, like, even at school now, I'm not sure if, like, any of my classmates even knew that I used to struggle with this, right? Like, and I obviously, like,
well,
there
I think
are moments
that was
where,
one of the points of you writing the book, if
right?
I may,
yeah.
to the extent that the title of this is They Didn't Know.
Right.
They may still not know.
Yeah, and I mean, that's, and it's just been heartwarming to receive texts from people that read the book, and they're saying, I didn't know you felt like this. I've been feeling like this, too.
Well, and that's the entree. That's the opening.
That's the whole point, right?
Right, because you recognized within yourself
yeah.
that there was a problem, and
yeah.
then you started getting the adjustment, your parents and other consultants, et cetera.
Yeah.
And to the extent that now you've taken the step very publicly. Oh, by the way, she's published a book. It's hardcover. Not hardcover. It's paperback, but still, it's hard copy.
Yes.
People can say, oh, I feel like that too.
Yeah.
And that's one of the other lines from the SAFE Coalition in particular. You're not alone.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not alone. We are not alone. I mean, we've already said, and there's other quotes, et cetera, you know, no man is an island, no person is an island. But social media doesn't necessarily lead us that way.
No.
Right?
Everyone's
you can
living
do
these
everything.
Glamorous
you can
lives.
Do it. You
yeah.
can do it. You can do it. And all of a sudden, it's an overnight sensation. People don't know of the years of journey, the years of failure.
Yeah. yeah.
To get to a point of success.
Absolutely. And especially, like, I know I already mentioned that, but like, be it, like when you're really struggling and you realize people don't want to hear about what I'm feeling on a day-to-day basis. They only want to hear about my success story at the
mm-hmm.
end of it.
Right.
But like in that moment when you're in that, again, deep, dark hole and you're feeling lonely and you're feeling the weight of everything
mm-hmm.
with whatever you're struggling with, it doesn't necessarily have to be a mental health struggle,
right.
you know, right? It could be any path of life, any struggle that you have.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, I was struggling with depression very severely, and I remember thinking, well, I don't even know if I'm going to make it to tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow is going to look like.
Right.
I don't know anything right now. Everything's so uncertain. So how am I supposed to know if I'm ever going to become that success story?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it just felt so lonely, and that's when I really started diving in to writing these poems, because even, like, my parents are incredible. My friends are incredible. And they're all amazing, but to an extent, your experience is your own experiences.
True.
Everyone has their own experiences.
Right.
Even, like, if someone comes to me now and I say, and they're telling me about how their day went really bad, one of the worst things I always hate saying is, I know what you're feeling.
Right.
Because I don't.
You can't.
Even if it's...
Right.
Even if it's like they didn't do well on a test,
mm-hmm.
and I have also not done well on a test before,
right.
they might put a different pressure on themselves than I'm putting on myself, right?
Right.
Like, generally,
yeah.
like, everyone's experiences are so different, so hearing, no, I know what you're feeling, like, do you,
mm-hmm.
right? But what really helped me, especially through my recovery and my journey, rather, recovery is still a work in progress,
it's
always a work in progress.
To a certain extent, life is the journey,
right?
A work in progress.
Exactly.
We're always working towards becoming.
Yeah.
I mean, I've joked many times saying my hero was Peter Pan. I never wanted to grow up. And yet here
yeah.
I'm retired, a grandfather, and it's like, wait a minute. I didn't want to grow up. How did I get here?
Here. Literally.
It's a journey.
It is. And yeah, and one of the most helpful things, at least for me, to hear was, I hear you. That's
simple.
Very simple.
Honest, generally.
Exactly. It's like, I'm feeling their empathy for me.
Right.
And someone's listening.
That's key.
That's key. And throughout writing my poetry, I kind of turned into that figure for myself, too, thinking, if I just get my words down, and then, honestly, it became such a therapeutic process. Like, I started writing 3.5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and there's one poem that's from 3.5 years ago, because I wasn't very good then, but that didn't matter, right? Like, I wasn't, like, that great at writing poetry then, but, I mean, I was 13, let's be honest, but slowly this whole, like, my poetry just turned into something I'm so proud of, because
right.
it just encapsulated such a non-linear journey, right?
Yes.
Especially because, yeah. I mean, and I have to be honest, for cinematic purposes, I did put this collection into a linear journey, kind of.
You had to structure it in order to bring people along with you. Because, yeah, to the extent that it's not linear, the ups and downs are such that, you know, it's hard to follow.
Exactly. But I genuinely do, like, really want to get it out there that even though I have structured it in a linear kind of structure, but
books by nature are linear structures.
Exactly. But, like, no one's journey is. For my best example of it is, like, the first section is the inescapable pain and the last section is the pride. One of the most recent poems I wrote, I think the last poem I wrote for this book was in The Inescapable Pain, right? I think it was Imprisoned. And that was the name of the poem that was the last poem I wrote, and it was in the first section.
Right. And I'll speculate as a writer, but there are some things that as topics, in your area, of course, is an interesting topic that some people don't necessarily, you can't approach it in the right way. At the right time.
Right.
You have to be ready for that topic.
Right.
And it could be that it was kind of like in the back, percolating, and then eventually you just said, I'm ready, I want to do it.
Right.
And then it happened.
Right.
But I know there are some topics for my writing, they're just still percolating.
Yeah.
They're percolating.
Yeah.
They're percolating. They're not ready. I'm not ready.
Sometimes you just don't know how to put them into words and put them on paper.
Correct.
But I truly do, like, some of these poems, like, most of them, when I started writing them, I didn't know what I was writing. Mm-hmm. And then by the time I ended writing that poem, obviously, editing process to come after, but by the time I said, okay, that's my last line, I suddenly had processed so many things that just didn't make sense when they were all up in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Getting them out on paper was so therapeutic because I had, like we said, writing, books, they're meant to be more structured.
True.
My poems were put into a structure, and taking it out of that big jumble in my head and putting it out into some sort of structure was just so incredible.
From the gray matter to typing, pencil, paper, whatever, at least it gave
it
enough of a format for you to
make sense of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was... and then on top of that, I mean, my freshman year, I joined a club at Franklin High called ActiveMind. It's the Mental Health Awareness Club.
Which is why I think you're still part of that. And I think that's how we connected. Through your Instagram post, it was like, oh, wait a minute, she just published a book for this? I need to reach out. So, unabashedly, I did reach out. I was tentative, but hey, you want to talk?
Yeah, like, it's just, like, through that club, it's been just so incredible. I mean, when I joined in freshman year, it was a pretty small club. It's grown in the past three years, and it's just been so amazing because those club meetings are my, like, favorite day of the week.
Oh, good.
I go in, and we're all doing something for this cause.
Okay.
And it just feels so... like, safe in there to know that all these students, 20, 30 students, are here for the same reason, for the same cause, and they're actively doing something in that room, whether it's making a poster that day or, like, cutting up a ribbon to hand out at our school, something. But knowing that there are people that have felt similar ways is just so, so, like, healing and comforting.
Reinforcing you're not alone.
Exactly. And it's okay to not be okay.
And it's,
right? And, like, it's okay to be in that, like, there's a section, like, it goes in the book, it goes, the inescapable pain. Am I forgetting? The inescapable pain, the ignorance, the uncertainty, the recovery, the memories, the pride. And it's okay to be in the first three sections.
Right.
It's okay to be in the last three sections. It's okay to be in the first three sections again the next day.
Right.
Right? And it's like, I know, like, all, I mean, to an extent that may sound like pessimistic, saying like, oh, like, it's not linear.
That's the definition of it's not a linear journey.
Yeah.
You may be, you know, half step back, but then you recover, you go forward, and maybe it's two steps forward before another step back.
Right.
You're making progress towards where you want to be, where you are becoming.
And through that process, it's not linear, but you're not alone, right? You can reach out to people.
Correct.
You can, I mean, that's been the only reason I've been able to come to a place where I feel comfortable talking to people about it.
Sure.
And getting this book out there in the way I've been hoping to, it's because I've been comfortable enough to ask for help when I need it.
Right.
And whether it's my parents that day, whether it's a friend, whether it's a teacher, it's just, it's so necessary, because carrying like any burden alone, it will catch up with you unless you just, even if, and for example, I mean, there were times where I didn't feel like I could talk to anyone about it, but I had some other outlet. I had some other self-care mechanism. Like I wrote poetry.
Right.
I journaled.
That was your your outlet.
Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't always have to be journaling. I know that's a very cliche one, right? Like, oh, go journal, go write out your feelings. Like recently for me, it's been like going to the gym or like, or just listening to music, something so simple, but like just asking for help or doing something for yourself when you need it. Like, again, it's the simple things, but it really does get you out of like that really dark place, even if it's just for a second.
Right.
It's progress.
Well, and I think you've, as kind of a summary point, but you recognized you had a problem, you started reaching out, started getting some help.
Yeah.
Started the journaling, started the writing, gradually found more of, I'll say, the self within yourself that you were trying to find, and then through the writing eventually wrote the book. But now you've taken the point where you're confident enough that, it's published. And now we're doing this to help make it that much more available so that people will say, oh, I felt like that. I do feel like that. And then the conversation continues, which I think is what your point is.
Yeah.
So if we step back, do you want to read that, the kind of the title poem?
Yeah,
they
totally.
Don't know, because I think that for me was a powerful one, to the extent that you acknowledge that they don't know, and you are ready to deal with it.
Yeah.
Which now that this is published will happen potentially more frequently, and then hopefully you'll get a little bit more confidence-y time.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope.
Right? Yeah, me too. No, They Didn't Know is one of my favorites. I remember when I wrote it, it just felt so powerful to me, because I honestly have been trying to put it into words for a while. It feels so cut and dry, because it is, after feeling like that for so long, just again, like those two identities I discussed earlier, going to school but then also having to deal with this burden
right
every day when I close that room again and close that door. They didn't know what could not be witnessed. They didn't know even though she told them what she felt then, how bruised she was, how alone she felt. They didn't know. She wanted to go somewhere quiet. She wanted some peace. Somewhere where she could escape her mind. Somewhere she didn't hurt. They didn't know the innocence was gone. They didn't know. They didn't know she was tired to persist, to keep walking, to keep talking. She was exhausted. They didn't know.
Yeah, I found that very powerful, and I think the typing, the deliberate punctuation, putting the period, they didn't know, forced the reader to make the pauses like you just did as you read it.
Yeah.
So that you really have to stop and listen and comprehend what's going on.
Right.
Because, you know, and it's interesting, too, because the extent that, and I've had conversations with, and I've been learning a lot from another group, Rise Up, which deals with people, various forms of brain injury recovery. Mm-hmm. And disabilities. And disabilities, respectfully, can be visible,
mm-hmm.
can be invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody can have a disability and they look totally normal.
Right.
And then you only find out once you start talking, potentially.
Yeah.
And they choose to reveal what their disability is.
Right.
Right? Or you may not know. It may not change the nature of whatever the conversation is.
Right.
But it can be impactful on the relationship.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by how people, unfortunately, and again, going back to kind of the social world where everything has to be good and glorious and colorful
yeah.
and proper and, you know, always succeeding. And it's not always that way.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? There are going to be tough times.
Absolutely.
But if we don't help each other, if we don't treat each other with that level of kindness and respect,
yeah.
then
like,
the
like,
isolation becomes yeah. that much more, and then people don't get the help that they need.
Right, and just remembering to show like empathy and compassion to people, because, I mean, there are so many times, like, I think, honestly, when I've, like, through everything I've struggled with and witnessed through
mm-hmm.
this journey... I do think that I've been able to gain like a different insight and perspective on how to address conversations or just greet myself to people, know that just always address, like, come into any situation with empathy.
Yes.
It's just so invisible sometimes, and
mm-hmm.
it could be anything, but it's just knowing that if people addressed any scenario with more empathy and compassion, I do think people would be more comfortable to speak out about their struggles.
Right.
And get help and believe in themselves,
mm-hmm.
because they had people in their back corner knowing that they're there for them.
And somebody there to... draw back on,
yeah,
get some sustenance
it's
from,
so
support from.
It's just so helpful
yep.
to know you have support, and yeah, and I think again having that empathy, just like proving to people that, like, even if I don't know you that well, I can be here for you,
mm-hmm.
right? And obviously comes with its limitations, but
right.
it does make a huge difference, and I think that's especially what I'm trying to do through this book, because. I do like that this book isn't that long of a read, because
mm-hmm.
it encourages people to get through it. Just even if you like make it through most of the book, you'll
right.
start to see the shift in tone.
Yeah.
And shift in my self-talk and my journal entries. And I think, again, that will show like the way I've been able to even increase my empathy towards myself.
Sure.
Like you could do for others and you can do for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, and by disclosure, I did read the book at least twice. Once kind of the speed read to kind of go through it and
right.
understand the scope
mm-hmm.
in preparation for this conversation, and then
right.
to tap back into to more fully understand. So in terms of the structure, you have, and I assume the illustrations are yours?
Yes.
Yes. Because it didn't have kind of illustrated by. It just
yeah.
said it was your production. And then you got a mix of journal entries and the sections and then the poems. So,
mm-hmm.
and it is your journey to mm-hmm. this point. Clearly now it's printed as of
yeah.
whatever the day it was printed, but your life is continuing. So
yeah.
there'll be a book 2, 3, 4 at some point.
Yeah,
maybe
years later. I mean, I'm still... Actually, I think after putting an end to this book, I think the first time I wrote a poem again was like 2 weeks ago. I was like, I really need to get some feelings out.
Yes.
And I opened my Google Docs and just wrote for a little bit. And
yes.
I mean, it wasn't that good because I hadn't written in a while, but also that doesn't matter. It's just like I got my feelings out and
correct.
I left that little 10-minute mm-hmm. rant session in my Google Docs feeling
yes,
better.
That's fine.
And
yep. yeah,
but yeah, Google. Maybe yeah. in 3 years it'll turn into something,
mm-hmm.
another book.
Right.
But I
yeah.
do.
I'll open a Google Doc periodically and I'll do concept and then the date.
Right.
And then I just write.
Yes.
And sometimes you go back and
sometimes
it's like, not ready.
No, yeah, literally. I don't even know how this turned into like a book. I generally, like, at a certain point, I was like, I have enough. And then I like tried putting it together. I was like, no, this is like really powerful.
Right.
And because I've been writing since the beginning of my journey, so it really has really encapsulated.
Well, I think to the extent really well. That you're at least comfortable enough with yourself in your journey. Now, granted, you're still young, respectfully.
Yes.
You've got a long journey, hopefully, ahead of you.
Right.
But you're at least ready now, much more ready than you were a couple of years ago.
Yes.
To take the next steps.
Absolutely.
You want to read one of the ones from the end?
Yeah.
Close on a kind of that hopeful note, because
I think I might change my mind.
You
on
can
the which
you
one.
Can do which you can. You're the author. You can read whichever one you want.
Okay, I think I'm going to do Stay.
Okay.
It's called Stay. Stay. You need to stay. I know what everyone says is starting to sound like nothing. It's starting to mean nothing. You're exhausted, but you need to stay. You're in pain, but you need to stay. I can't convince you that it's worth it. You can't convince yourself, but stay. It's harder than it seems, I know, but stay. Just stay. Whatever it takes, stay. You still have to watch the new episode of your show, so stay. You still have to beat your brother at chess, so stay. You still have to collect all of the vinyl you wanted, so stay. Stay until you look forward to the next day. Stay until you begin to live.
Stay.
Yes. Doesn't sound like much, but sometimes it's everything.
It can be as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I think you referenced that certainly a number of times in your early in the your struggles where you were so uncertain, so unsure, you weren't sure what was going to happen.
Right.
Now at least you're at a point where the answer is stay.
Yeah.
And
a
it will
second
get
at a time.
Out.
Yeah.
Right.
Just a second at a time.
Yep. Cool. Well, thank you for taking time to tell your story, at least to this point.
Yes.
Because hopefully people will say, I want to get that book.
Right.
Because, as we've said, you are not alone, they're not alone, we're not alone.
Yeah.
There's something in common. We have more in common with each other than we think.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And writing and poetry was your outlet. Maybe somebody else is going to be art. Maybe somebody else is going to be dance. Maybe it's somebody else is going to be something else.
Yeah.
But there needs to be an outlet of some sort, I think.
I agree. Yeah.
Well,
totally.
Thank you again for taking time to share. We'll include the link to the book so that people can find the place
yeah.
to get it.
Yeah, it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble online. So look up my name or look up the book and hopefully
yes.
it pops up.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again. And to the listeners, thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this. Get the book. I think it'll be helpful. And continue the conversation. And quick reminder, we do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.